You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
How are you, Ryan?
Pam, I'm really good. How about yourself?
I am good. You know, we're back for another episode, which is always exciting. I enjoy recording these when we get to.
That's right.
But today I'm really, you know, sometimes when you and I Google, we've come across some really cool organizations and we get to learn about those organizations, but also bring them to our survivors and let them be aware that these organizations are out there. So I'm really excited about the one that you found today.
Yes. We talk about there's lots of great resources out there, and we by no means are the end all be all provider of all things. This is one of those great opportunities to share about another organization, but also hear about what they do. And then also talk about something that's very important that we talk about often, and that being self-care. And so it's kind of a hybrid podcast today. But let me introduce our guest, Pam. We have someone that's got a unique perspective that she's going to talk about. Anna Reyes is joining us, and she is a survivor ambassador. Now, and a volunteer at the organization called Survivor. Now, Pam, it's not spelled like you would normally, and we're not going to do the spelling bee here because I wouldn't pass it. I can tell you that. But this is spelled CERVIVOR, Survivor, and we'll let Anna tell us all the reasons why that is, which will be very important to some of our listeners because it goes along with the type of cancer that I know some of our listeners and some of our folks that we see at the Survivorship Center, SURVIVOR, Survivorship Center, have had. So Anna, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us and tell our listeners what this Survivor with a C organization is about and does.
Sure. So Survivor, CERVIVOR, is a global community of patients, advocates, and supporters who inspire and empower people affected by cervical cancer, which is why it is spelled CER. Survivor works by educating and motivating anyone affected by cervical cancer to use their voice and their story to help create awareness and end the stigma that surrounds a diagnosis of cervical cancer quite often. Survivor also works to influence decision making and change, and is really at this point working to end cervical cancer, because cervical cancer, most cervical cancers, 98% of them are caused by HPV, which is a virus that is transmitted through intimate skin-to-skin contact. And over 80% of people in the world will be contract HPV at some point in their life. We have a vaccine now to prevent HPV, which means we have a vaccine that can prevent cancer. And that is really what Survivor is about, not only giving people with a cervix who have had cervical cancer a place to find support and to find information about treatment, but also a way to kind of turn your story into something more powerful and advocate so that no one else has to endure the treatments that we have had to endure.
So how did you get involved in Survivor?
I got involved as I think anyone who has had a cancer diagnosis becomes an expert at late night Google searches, for better or worse. And so I was diagnosed at the end of 2015 with stage 2 cervical adenocarcinoma, which makes up only about 5% of cervical cancer. So it is a little bit more, or it's more rare and a little bit more aggressive than squamous cell cervical cancer. And when I was diagnosed, I was 34 years old, so relatively young. I didn't know anyone else who had had cancer other than my aunt and a family friend who had both had breast cancer. And that was really all that I knew about cancer. And I felt really scared, of course, and really alone in not knowing anyone else who had gone through this type of cancer or who was my age and going through cancer treatments. And so I was Googling and Googling. I had gone to some gynecologic cancer support groups, and the women that I met there were amazing women. Most of them had ovarian cancer, and so they were much older than I was. They were in a very different phase of their life. The treatment is very different for ovarian cancer than it is for cervical cancer. And so while I found it to be a supportive community, there wasn't, you know, I was dealing with being a single mom. My kids were 8 and 6 years old. I was working full time. And so trying to navigate this time in my life, I just was looking for people who had actually had cervical cancer and were going to be going through the treatments. And I found looking for cervical cancer support groups is how I came across Survivor. And there's a webpage, survivor.org, and they also have a Facebook group, an Instagram presence. And so that's how I found them. And it was immediately reading the stories on survivor.org of other women, I just felt like, okay, finally someone understands exactly what I have had to go through.
And you became a part of Survivor. I mean,
you're
using your story to impact and share and do what Survivor did for you, you're doing for others.
Yeah, if someone had told me when I was first diagnosed in 2015 or prior to that, that I would be going around, you know, making posts on Facebook and Instagram or speaking on podcasts or at events about my cervix and my vagina, I would have just been shocked and laughed my head off. And when I was first diagnosed, I did not post anything about my diagnosis. I feel like, you know, cervical cancer happens in a very intimate, private part of your body that is not always comfortable to talk about. And that just creates even more of a stigma around what women have to go through in terms of our treatment for cervical cancer. And reading other people's stories and seeing other women who were posting very intimate details about their treatment and recovery and side effects really helped me to feel like, okay, it's okay for me to talk about this. And I think we go back and think about breast cancer, you know, 30 years ago was also something that people weren't talking about. You couldn't say the word breast on TV or on a podcast. And I hope that, you know, half of our population has a cervix, so it's okay to talk about it. Half of our population has a vagina. It's okay to talk about it. And it's really important. And it did help me feel much more empowered. And like, there was a reason that I was going through this. And for me, that reason is to make sure that no one else has to go through it.
So for our listeners thinking, okay, how can I help someone not go through this? What are some steps or suggestions that you could give to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing is if you have a cervix, you need to get screened. People are used to hearing about the pap smear, which is a little bit outdated of a term now. It's called a pap test. But you need to get your screenings for cervical cancer. and the guidelines have changed. So make sure that you're talking to your gynecologist about what the new guidelines are. If you do not have a history of abnormal pap tests, the guidelines now are that you go in for your screening every 3 years, which is different. When I was younger, it was every year. Pam, that's probably what you're used to hearing too. So it has changed, but making sure that you're going in. And I think, you know, as women, as mothers, especially, we put ourselves on the back burner all the time. And I think one of the very first things that we are willing to take off of our schedules is going in for our OBGYN exams, because they're not fun. You know, some people feel a little embarrassed about it. And I am just here to say, you know, just like they tell you on the airplane, you have to put your mask on first. You've got to go in for your screenings. You're not going to be there for your children, your family, if you are not well. And the second thing that people can do is make sure that the children in your life who are 9 to, you know, there's the cutoff is 45, but if you can get the children in your life vaccinated with the HPV vaccine, that will prevent cervical cancer as well as 6 other HPV related cancers. And it is mind-boggling for me to think about the fact that had this vaccine been available when I was a child, and had I been able to get it, I would not have gotten cancer. I continue to deal with cervical cancer and vaginal cancer, which is another cancer caused by HPV. It's been 9 years for me that I have been dealing with this. And because I remain HPV positive, my body is not fighting off this virus. We don't know why some people fight it off and some people don't. But because I continue to be HPV positive, I will deal with this for the rest of my life. And again, getting your children vaccinated, your sons and your daughters need to get vaccinated. And it will prevent 6 different types of cancer.
Pam, I can remember, in my previous life, and which also intersected with your previous life, at one of the treatment centers here in town, that I was blown away by being in like the tumor board and visiting with our physicians, how many cancers were HPV related.
Yes.
It is. And, you know, it's one of those things that it just seemed like every tumor board, there were multiple cases that were brought up that this is an HPV cancer. This is an HPV related cancer. Head and necks, especially, you know, it's amazing that a virus such as that is so prevalent in causing cancer.
It's just crazy, the amount.
Yes.
Well,
Anna, talk to us about, you know, one of the things that we found as a resource from Survivor, and you guys that are listening, especially, you know, there's a lot of wonderful, awesome resources on survivor.org. Now, it's not 100% only specifically for cervical cancer survivors and cervical cancer diagnosis, because there's stuff, you know, that's there, which is one of the things that we want to talk about. And I'm sure that you're going to have some personal experiences. Is mind, body, and spirit really in the importance of self-care? And we talk about self-care a lot, Pam, with our survivors. I know our instructors talk about self-care a lot, but let's dive into that, Anna, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I, as part of my job, I work at a county office of education in California, and part of my job is employee health and wellness. And so we do a lot around self-care. I think that it's an interesting industry because sometimes it can come across with this, you know, you see these images on Facebook and Instagram of bubble baths and like, you know, this new face cream is going to solve all of your problems in life. And I think we can put a lot of pressure on people and say, you know, oh, you're stressed out. Well, you need to do more self-care. And it can sometimes feel like more of a burden than a help, right? With the pressure that we put on people. And I think what I have come to look at is that there's all these different categories of wellness that go into your overall well-being. And the categories can range from, you know, 5 to 10 different categories. In my work and in my life, I look at the categories that the National Institute of Health puts out. And so those categories are your physical wellness, your intellectual wellness, your emotional wellness, social wellness, spiritual, vocational, financial, and environmental. And I think cancer touches almost every single one of those elements when you're diagnosed with it, and even when you're caregiving for someone. And I think that we need to recognize and really take stock in, okay, in these different areas, how am I doing? Because it's not realistic for me, at least, and I don't think for very many people, to say, I'm going to be well in all of these areas all the time, right? Like, that's just not a thing. And it's not even a thing that I think we should strive for, because it's so impossible to reach. But what I do for myself and for employees that I work with and other cancer survivors is to say, hey, really take some time and think about, where are you feeling? Where is your stress coming from? Is it from physical trauma and you're feeling unwell physically? Well, then, okay, maybe doing some yoga or, you know, going to the doctor or taking a bubble bath, that may actually make you feel better. And that would be a form of self-care. But if you are feeling financial stress because you're taking time off of work because of treatments for cancer or recovery from cancer, then taking a bubble bath is not really going to make you feel any less stressed out. But meeting with a financial planner will make you feel less stressed out. And that's not necessarily something that we would automatically say, oh, this is a form of self-care for me. But if you can think about exactly where that stress is coming from, then meeting with a financial planner may be a form of self-care, because that's going to really address what your root issue is and why you're feeling unwell.
That is a very, very powerful and good point. I don't know. I've honestly thought of that specific way for self-care.
No, I don't think I would have either. And financial advisors may give me more stress than really some stress.
Well, I mean, it certainly can go both ways. And while we're talking about self-care, I'm just going to go ahead and say, Pam, we are not putting a bubble bath into the Survivorship Center here.
Do you find that women are more open to self-care than males, or vice versa?
That's a really good question. I don't know that I've thought about it. I think that I think it probably just depends on the person, because I think as women, again, we put so much pressure on ourselves to do so much for other people and be such givers that taking time for self-care, regardless of what that looks like, can feel selfish. Right. And I think as women, we have more of a problem than men being selfish and taking that time for ourselves as a generality. So I think we need to be very, I think it can go both ways. And it just remembering that this isn't selfish, it's actually necessary for you to invest that time into yourself in whatever way that's going to feed your soul and address your areas of stress, is going to actually make you more effective as a person in general, as a wife, as a mother, as an employee, I think is important for everyone to acknowledge.
Right.
I think that's a very fair statement. I do. I see that. But one of the things that I think in talking about the generalities is, I mean, you know, we've talked about in previous podcasts, you know, what is self-care to you is totally different than me and totally different than this person and that person and all these things. But like maybe exercise tends probably to be more so geared towards guys, you know, not to say that women don't exercise, but just in generalities, I feel like maybe a lot of times exercise or something like that is probably the thing that guys lean towards or lean to. But that is a very interesting question to think about the differences between guys. And maybe that's partly too why we have more women who come to our programs at the Survivorship Center. I don't know, Pam, that's something to think about.
You know, we don't know the answer, but hopefully what we can say is that we're here for guys and
everyone
and females, anybody that has struggled with cancer. So how do we prioritize our mental health and wellness?
I think that understanding how your mental health affects really every aspect of your life helps to make that a priority for people. And when you see that, you know, I think we all know it, but until you really experience investing some time into your mental health, into your emotional health or your spiritual health, and see the changes that that can bring across the board in your life. I think once you realize that, then it becomes a little bit easier to prioritize it. But it's also, you know, it's hard to do that. I think, especially going through cancer treatments, you know, my original treatments were 6 rounds of chemotherapy, 25 rounds of external radiation, and 3 rounds of internal radiation. And I think many people do this, but you know, it's like you just are kind of tunnel vision to the end of your treatment, and you're marking off the calendars and the days on the calendar and marking off the chemos and the counting down. And I remember, you know, when I finished treatment, when I finished my last internal radiation, and the radiation oncologist telling me, you know, okay, well, we'll see you in 3 months. It was like, wait a minute, like I've been here every day for a month, and now you're just setting me free and telling me everything's fine. Like, and it wasn't until I really had that time where I was then still not working and recovering from treatment, and I had these days that were no longer filled with appointments and just had time to sit and think about the trauma that I had just gone through and really begin to process it. At that point was when I started to feel much more of the anxiety and the depression. And it really was then that I started to see a therapist and invest more or take more time to deal with the emotions and mental health that I was struggling with. And I think that happens pretty often for people, because going through the treatments, right, you're surrounded by all of these people, and then treatment's over and people expect friends, family, doctors, right? Everyone's like, it's done, you're good, go back to your normal life. And that's just really unrealistic for most people, I think. And certainly for me, it was unrealistic. So
what you described, what you described is exactly what I hear probably 85% of the time when I meet with patients. You know, they went through the motions of getting through treatment, and then it's the, oh, should I feel guilty for having these feelings of depression? I'm alive. Why do I have these? And sometimes it's, you know, just reassuring those patients that, you know, these feelings that you do have is very common.
Yeah, I think that's so important for oncologists to recognize and to talk about with cancer patients is that you're gonna feel so many different things, and you can feel them at the same time. That was one of the things that I have an amazing therapist, and one of the things that she told me, because there is, survivor guilt, and there's all of these things that come with being a survivor, of feeling grateful that I'm alive, but also feeling mad about all of the time that has been taken from me, feeling angry, grateful that I have two children, but also feeling angry that I went into menopause at 35 and the option to have more children was taken away from me. Feeling, grateful that I'm alive, but mad that I had to go through all of this and that I continue to have to go through all of it. And what my therapist said to me was, the amazing thing about being a human is that you can feel grateful and mad and sad all at the same time. And it doesn't take away the fact that I'm sad that I didn't get to have more children, doesn't take away the fact that I'm grateful for the two children that I have. And the fact that I'm grateful that I am surviving doesn't take away the fact that I feel guilty that other women are not as lucky as I am. And I tell myself that at least once a week, because those feelings come up all the time. And so just, I think allowing people to know that if you're gonna feel all of the things all at the same time, and that is okay, takes that pressure off of feeling like, well, you should be happier that you're alive and you made it through, right? You sh all of those shoulds that we get from doctors and friends and family, you should just forget about it and move on. It puts a lot of pressure on people that
Sure
is
does.
pretty unrealistic.
Yeah. You talked earlier, Anna, about the stigma around cervical cancer. And as we're discussing mental health and we're discussing, you said your therapist and counseling and visiting, there is a major stigma a lot of times around talking with a counselor. And so much that we do, Pam, I would encourage our listeners to go back. I can't even remember when it was. This is our fourth season, hard to believe, fourth season of doing this podcast, but in maybe season two, I guess it might have been, we talked about breaking the stigma around mental health. For our listeners, we have four licensed professional counselors that we work with. And we want to make sure that we are doing our part, just as you said, Anna, to make sure that people understand that it is a wonderful, can be a wonderful thing to visit with a counselor and have a therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of the things that I think has happened as a benefit with COVID is some of that stigma around mental health is beginning beginning to kind of move. We're moving away from that. And I think
Right.
people are talking more and more about our children's mental health and
Yes.
Just how important it is in general to take care of your mental health.
Yeah, I would
And so
say.
I do see that as a benefit from COVID. And I love my therapist.
It's kind of become more normal. It's normalized.
It is. Yeah.
Pam, I can remember someone referring to one of our counselors as their cancer therapist. They have their cancer doctor and they have their cancer therapist. And I know that the relationships that our counselors have with the folks they work with is amazing. I can't stress it enough. Having not been there, I can't relate, but I see it, I hear it, and know that our counselors are very, very busy. And it's a very vital point. And that is a vital piece of self-care. That's kind of what we're talking about. And that's a vital piece. And I hope, as you said, Anna, I hope that someone doesn't feel guilty, when they have those times, because it's a path to growth. It's a path to healing as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's been times throughout my cancer journey that I have been meeting with my therapist more than one time a week because it's been so stressful, or I've had so much anxiety around, you know, having a recurrence or having then being diagnosed with a second type of HPV related cancer was just devastating. And how to navigate through life knowing that, you know, for me, HPV related cancers are a chronic condition that I will continue to live with forever until, you know, there's a cure for HPV, which I hope will happen. But at this point, again, my body is not fighting off this virus, and it has not fought it off for 17 years. So I know that I will continue. I just had biopsies last week. So I'm now in that super fun time of just waiting for results where you're constantly checking the, you know, portal. And, you know, I have my cell phone right next to me, and I, you know, I, so how to, I need a place to go and talk about those fears without putting that onto family or friends who haven't been through it and don't necessarily understand all of the intricacies of what that feels like.
So were support groups helpful for you?
I did, you know, I found that because gynecologic cancers are kind of lumped together into one support group in most places, for me, it wasn't that helpful until I found Survivor and really found a group of people who had been diagnosed at a younger age, who were going through a loss of fertility, who were dealing with navigating work and leaves of absence, or, you know, being in the middle of your career and having to take extended periods of time off, dealing with, you know, children and how do I tell my young children about cancer. The support groups that I found through Survivor that were more targeted to my specific type of cancer, I found to be very helpful. More general support groups for me were not that helpful. But I do think that being able to find a group, wherever that is, where you can openly share about your feelings, your concerns, and what you're going through, and being able to ask questions of, okay, this is what my oncologist told me, you know, who else has gone through this? Who else has done internal radiation? Who else has, you know, now been diagnosed with another HPV related cancer? Being able to have those open conversations with people who truly understand it definitely for me was helpful. But I needed to make sure that it was people that were in the same phase of life that I was in.
Yeah, you got to find your community, right? You definitely found it at Survivor.
I did.
What other forms, Anna, what other forms of self-care, like, do you recommend or that you've done or that you can recommend to our listeners?
You know, I think, as you said earlier, self-care is so personal that for me, what I recommend is really taking that time to think about these different buckets of your life. That I mentioned earlier, and really taking stock of, okay, is it, you know, spiritually that I'm feeling kind of empty, or is it, you know, my job is not fulfilling? What I think taking stock of those different buckets and paying attention to where you're feeling unwell or what's feeling most stressful, and then really addressing that specifically is my best advice. Because, you know, for me, going to get a manicure is a form of self-care. I don't know that that's true for you, Ryan. So I wouldn't, I don't think I can recommend to people a specific form of self-care, but really just thinking about, okay, what is it that is going to really address the area in my life that I'm feeling unwell? And then I think, you know, there's lots of times, especially going through cancer, or right after your treatments, where you may feel like all my buckets are empty. Like, I don't even know where to begin to fill in these buckets because I'm financially stressed. Physically, I'm exhausted. Emotionally, I'm depressed and have anxiety and guilt. And, you know, financially, I'm struggling because I took a leave of absence. And so I think at that point, you kind of have to decide, okay, you can't address everything at one time. Yeah. So, you know, are you going to address, which bucket are you going to address first? Is it the one that is the easiest win for you? Like, well, I'm just going to go take a walk outside for my mental health, and that's going to, you know, make me feel a little bit better physically as well as emotionally. Or are you going to say, this is the biggest stressor in my life? It's financial. And so I'm going to address that first. I think that's the advice that I would give, is really just looking specifically at what you need to address.
Pam, I think one of the things we can take away from that is, one, it's not easy all the time. And two, it takes some work. I know you and I, Pam, we've talked on several occasions where a lot of times we look for a quick fix, and we look for, you know, is there a pill I can take? You know, is there something? I mean, that's kind of our instincts. But this is one of those things that you've got to be intentional about.
Absolutely. You know, and she's talking about these different buckets. I encourage our listeners just to take a look at our calendar. There's a lot of things that could help with fill your buckets. You know, it's always scary to come to a new place, but hopefully you'll gain something by coming to one of the classes or all the classes. It's kind of your buffet. You get to pick and choose how you want to come.
Yeah, it's one of those things, as Anna was talking about, gosh, I don't even know where to start. I'm not even really sure what to do. That's a great point, Pam. I'll tell you where to start is to look at our calendar. And I would almost guarantee there's something on there that can add to one of those, as Anna said, one of those buckets. It's not all wellness classes. I don't want everyone to think, oh, you just want me to come work out. You just want me to come exercise. I go to walking group or something like that. No, those are there for that bucket. That's there. As you said, Pam, we always talk about it being a buffet. We have a lot of fun things too. And I think, Anna, that's another thing to stress too, right? There needs to be some fun and some activities and things that you do. It's not always like, oh, I've got to go walk around the park five times because that's what they say is self-care. There should be some fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, self-care needs to work for you as a person, and it needs to feel actually like it needs to feel positive. And so I think also going through cancer treatment, being a survivor, can feel really isolating, and making sure that you are keeping those connections and having fun and knowing that it's okay to have fun. Again, and you may feel guilty that you can have fun when someone else isn't able to, but knowing that those two things can live in the same place, I think is really important. Because we've got to all need to add more joy into our lives all the time.
Right. Absolutely. So is there anything exciting that's coming up with Survivor that our listeners should know about?
Survivor has tons of different events, and I would encourage people to go on to survivor.org. They have a calendar as well of different events. We do support groups and community building. There's lots of advocacy that people can get involved with. And so I would encourage people to look on Survivor's website as well.
I have to admit, for someone who doesn't have a cervix, there is a lot of information there. I mean, it is not just a small website. There is a lot of information there.
There is, and I think, you know, as you said, HPV, you know, HPV causes six different types of cancer. Cervical cancer is the fourth leading cause of cancer-related deaths in women in the world. And we are not, it's not a small community of women that have had to go through this. And oropharyngeal cancer, the head and neck cancers, are now overtaking cervical cancer as the number one HPV-related cancers. And so you know, men need to be involved in that as well, and making sure that there's no screening for head and neck cancer, but just understanding that HPV affects men and women. And causes problems in men and women. And so vaccinating sons and daughters is crucial.
Yeah.
You know, there's Australia has mandated the HPV vaccine. It's not a mandated vaccine in the United States. But because it is mandated there, they are set to have no new cases of cervical cancer in 2029. Like, it's not that far away. And here in the US, we only have a 60% uptake rate of the HPV vaccine. And I think, you know, if there were a vaccine for breast cancer, people would be lined up out the door to get that vaccine. And I think, again, the stigma around the fact that HPV is a sexually transmitted infection makes people think, well, I'm not gonna get this vaccine for my children because I don't want them to think it's okay to have unprotected sex. I have two children, I have two sons. They've both gotten the HPV vaccine. For me, it's important that my children, when they grow up, I want them to experience a loving relationship that includes intimacy. And knowing that 80% of people are gonna get this virus at some point in their life, being able to protect my children from this virus that they will get if they don't get the vaccine is one of the most important decisions that I've ever made for my family.
Well said.
You know, and I'd highly encourage, you know, if you have small children, to talk to your pediatrician.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Get the information from them. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about before we get to our last segment?
I don't think so. I'm really excited that you asked me to be on here. I'm excited to know that there's more support out there for survivors. And I just thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely. This brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Would you like to share your Auto Inc. inspiring moment?
I would. I think, you know, lots of times when people are diagnosed with cancer, the very first question that comes into your head is, why me? Why did this happen to me? And that's a question that I struggled with for a long time. And I heard someone a couple years ago who said, instead of thinking why me, now I think why not me? Why not me to come onto a podcast and save someone's life by telling them to go get their screening and go get their children the HPV vaccine? Why not me to be the one to advocate and educate people? And when I get into those moments, you know, going in for biopsies again, and the thought always comes into my head, why me? Why do I have to go through this? But I think reframing that into why not me and what can I turn this into to help other people has been so empowering to me that I would just pass that on.
Wow. Anna, thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing not only about the organization Survivor, but also your story. And, you know, it, I think it's, we all agree it's important to share those stories, because you just never know who you're going to touch. You never know who needs to hear something that you went through, something that has helped you, something that touched you, you know, however else you, it can be spread. It is important to just share those stories, because you just never know.
Absolutely. And I, you know, in sharing my story, like I said, and posting on Facebook, coming in on podcasts, doing other talks, I have had so many people reach out to me and say, you know, my cousin just had an abnormal pap. What does that mean? Does she have cancer? What comes next? And I think as you share your story, you find more and more people who have a similar story and are so grateful to hear people talking about it, but and get that support. So I thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I encourage everyone to get their screenings and get the HPV vaccine.
Good deal. Well, thank you again, Anna, for joining us. Pam, always, I say this, always learn something every time we have a podcast. And I hope our listeners can say the same thing.
Yes. Every time we're here to help provide information. If you have a topic that you want us to discuss, please stop by or call us or email us and whatever's easiest to you. And we can research that and find the perfect guest to bring on.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You know, that brings us to really just talking about how we can actually be a part of someone's self-care, how we can be part of someone's resources. And that goes back, like we said, goes back to our calendar of events. There are, you know, sometimes in a month's time, Pam, I know you know this because we schedule all these things, but some of our listeners may be unaware. There's upwards of 70 to 75 classes, opportunities, you should say, opportunities to be a part of something. That's not counting, you know, our chemo brain class. That's not counting talking with a counselor. That's not counting some of the other things that we do. But there are upwards of 70 to 75 classes and opportunities a month to be a part of something and be a part of a community. You know, that touches all of those, well, I shouldn't say all, but most of those aspects that Anna talked about, those buckets of self-care. So how can someone find our calendar, Pam?
Well, there's several ways. You can go to our website, 24survivorship.org. We have an app for that, and find it on Apple and app, and our calendar's on that. Or you can stop by and grab a calendar in the foyer of the building.
That's right. Super simple. You guys, take a look at that. Figure out what works best for you, what fulfills your bucket, and how you can be more feeling better and just doing living life to the fullest. And you know, we always kind of joke about how everybody always says cancer sucks. You know, that tends to be the tagline, right? But we always like to say, but survivorship shouldn't. It shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Survivorship should not suck. So let's leave our listeners with that. And then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported 24 Hours in the Canyon and the Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website, 24survivorship.org.